Welcome to Alphabet Scoop. For those who are tuning in for the first time, this is a relatively new podcast from the team at 9to5 Google, where we cover everything that's happening in Google from A to Z. So thanks a lot for joining us. For those who are just now tuning in, this show is where we share our thoughts on the week's most important Google stories, and faithful to the show's name, we'll do our best to throw in some rumors and mini scooplets when we can. With that said, I think it's time we introduce ourselves. I'm Stephen Hall, and this is my colleague Abner Lee. How's it going, Abner?
Awesome. I'm always looking forward to these now.
Yeah, me too. I think we're finally starting to get the hang of it. This is episode 4, but I think the fifth one we've done. So we've been doing this for probably 5 hours. Yeah.
If you add a solid month.
Yeah, and if you add the time I've spent editing these as well, I think I'm well over a couple days worth of time. So slowly but surely we're getting the hang of it. To start things off, we have a lot to talk about on the Pixel front, which is one of my favorite topics to talk about on the show. First, we had a long-awaited confirmation of one of our reports from early last year. I said in January of 2017 in a report, it was, I think, one of the earliest reports about the Pixel 2. I kind of provided some, you know, a generic look at how the Pixel 2 would have an improved camera, obviously have a new CPU, obviously have a higher price, not so obviously. That was kind of a controversial topic with that, but it turned out to be true, of course. And then I also mentioned, I guess what I didn't realize at the time was that the bigger story in that scoop was that a budget Pixel was also in the works. At the time, I was told that this device was internally being referred to as Pixel 2B. I think after the Pixel 2 launched and you know, we never heard anything about this, a lot of people just kind of discounted this story that I had. But partly maybe because it was apparently called the Pixel 2B, and you know, Pixel 2 came and went, and we didn't hear anything about emerging markets. But basically the story we had was that Google was also working on, the Pixel team actually specifically was also working on a device that was aimed at emerging markets. Basically the end goal being that Google bring its, you know, Google experience and the Google phone, the Google self-branded phone to these emerging markets. And, as we found out this week, it looks like that might be happening pretty soon. We heard in a report from the Economic Times, right?
Yes. So, it's an Indian publication that reported that Google is working on a mid-range Pixel, they definitely specify Pixel, for emerging markets. And they very interestingly noted an early release as soon as July or August.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty interesting to see, considering at least in the West, we've kind of gotten used to now Google's annual October releases, right?
Definitely. Google, last year, they picked the exact same date. I think they really like that October 4th date for them. So this report that we heard from Monday said that it was launching alongside the home Vinyl smart speakers, but more fascinatingly, the Pixelbook, the premium Pixelbook, coming to the Indian market.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see if Google is already preparing a sequel to the Pixelbook, or if the Pixelbook that's apparently coming to India is just going to be the first generation Pixelbook that we heard about last year.
And the price point, it would, here stateside, it's $1,000. It would be a really, in the market dynamic of Google getting in with such an expensive laptop would be interesting. For some context, India is a very, very important market for Google. The entire emerging region there is called by Google as where the next billion users will come from. Google has a really dedicated team there, working on apps that are very specific to the region, like Tez, which is a different form of Android Pay that uses like subsonic, supersonic frequencies to make payments. And they just add very specific features to the region. Like in Google Maps, there's a motorcycle moped mode, for instance.
Yeah, and then there's also their work on providing internet access at train stations or at subway stations, right?
Yep, Google Stations, it's called. And it first launched in India, but it's slowly expanding to other regions. I believe last month we saw it come to Mexico.
Yeah, and a lot of other initiatives. I don't know if you mentioned Android Go. I mean, the Android Go, for instance, is it's obviously not an India-specific initiative, but I think India and you know Google's next billion is a very primary target for that.
Definitely. And when you frame it in the context of a cheaper mid-range Pixel would definitely break the release cycle, as we said at the top of this. So it's given how Google has shown an inclination, a deep inclination, to make custom services for those users, it'll be interesting to see what direction Google is taking with a mid-range phone.
I actually just remembered this, but I think another reason that our report was kind of disregarded was because just a month or two after we reported that this was in the works, Rick Osterloh sat down with a handful of journalists at Mobile World Congress. And I think, citing my report, one of those journalists, I don't remember which publication they were from, but they asked specifically about a budget Pixel or a mid-range Pixel coming out, and Rick Osterloh said, I quote, "Pixel stays premium," to which I think many Android journalists kind of took that as to mean that he was just directly debunking my report. But you know, I think you know plans change, and I think that a lot of times these PR statements can be made to kind of not exactly describe the direction a company is going, but rather where a company is at the moment. And I think that it turns out that maybe Osterloh wasn't being entirely transparent in that meeting.
Yep, or as you said, things could have just simply changed.
Yeah, and the other thing is Pixel stays premium can be it's a pretty generic statement. You can have a $400 or $500 phone that you know, you might consider premium. I think OnePlus kind of comes to mind in that they, you know, they don't have maybe the super premium design of a Samsung Galaxy S9 Plus or a Pixel 2 XL or an iPhone 10, but they can still, I think, kind of claim that their build and their phones are kind of more on the premium, quote premium, side of the spectrum than many of the lower end players. So, you know, saying Pixel stays premium, you know, premium can mean a lot of different things is basically what I'm saying. And so we could easily see a mid-range Pixel device come out in India this year that is premium from a material standpoint, but not so high end in terms of actual cost.
Yep. On that note, Monday's report also mentioned that the Pixel 3 is set for later that year, and it's coming to India later that year, around the same October time frame, early November time frame as years before. How do you think the community, the Android community, the users who still want a Nexus, a cheap phone with good specs and a Google software experience, do you think that this phone is coming anywhere else? Because again, the report just said emerging markets.
I think that the Pixel line, at least in the West, is going to remain a direct competitor to the iPhone and remain at the, you know, the top end of that spectrum. But on the other hand, obviously Apple has the iPhone SE, which I think where it's rumored that there's going to be a second generation SE coming soon. I'm not sure on that front. I'm not an Apple reporter. But I think that's rumored, and so I could see potentially Google later down the line, you know, launching maybe a smaller phone that kind of caters to those that are looking for, you know, they want the Pixel but they don't want to spend that much money. So I don't know.
Yeah, Again, I find it really interesting if this report from earlier this week is correct, that Google is breaking up its release cycles very purposefully with a July or August launch. So that'll be an exciting few months.
The July or August thing is kind of curious to me, because it very clearly separates this launch or this supposed launch. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. Economic Times has a pretty good track record, and they're citing sources in the industry. So, I mean, I think it's probably a pretty solid, reliable report. But we don't know. But it's interesting that it kind of intentionally detaches this phone from the Pixel 3, which, as you mentioned, is also apparently coming to India. So, I don't really know what to think of that. But speaking of the Pixel 3, we also saw this week the first accidental mention of this phone in the Android open source project.
Yes, we did, and it was in specific reference to the radio hall, which is a component that interfaces the underlying hardware of the phone and the Android OS itself. So it was a very small find, small mention, but Pixel 3, widely assumed, and it would be nice to, and it's nice to know that we'll get better networking out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I honestly, I think a lot of the stuff related to the how is kind of over my head, but it's cool to see that the Pixel 3 will be called the Pixel 3.
Development is on track. People call it the Pixel 3, but I really, really hope from the bottom of my heart that it's PIX3L. So much. So
I
much.
think your chances are not very good on that one, Abner.
Yeah, sad, right?
I think honestly, I think it will probably be called the Pixel 3. I mean,
Yeah, Google
there's
has a good thing going for itself. Why?
exactly.
Muddy it up now.
Yeah, exactly. And the interesting thing with the Pixel 3, the thing that I'm most curious about, and I think Google's probably clamping down a little bit on the leaks this year. I think that they realized last year that they were 2 years into this hardware game, and basically everything with the Pixel and the Pixel 2 just completely flooded out within just a four 3 or 4 months before the event. So I think that they might be clamping down a little bit this year. But the thing I'm most interested to find out about the Pixel 3 is what they're going to do on the physical design front, because
Oh, definitely.
We talked about this maybe last week. I talked about it in the article, talking about wanting wireless charging in the Pixel 3. I actually, one of our commenters here on 9to5 Google mentioned the possibility of having a ceramic body, which would allow the wireless charging to work through. I'm not sure. Do you know if ceramic is compatible with Qi?
I'm not sure, but from a premium standpoint, it would be good. It would be a very interesting way to go, as Google has clearly shown with the Pixel 2's plasticky coating that they're willing to go away from just a metal, boring phone.
Yeah, we were just talking last week about how they could potentially keep this design, this pixel, design that they've solidified as kind of the look, which is basically, a premium looking design with this glass window on the top. And we were talking about, how they could do this without, how they could make wireless charging work without abandoning this. One of the ideas we had was just going all glass, and the other idea was having some kind of a plastic material that it would be made of, and then a glass top, so that the Qi charging works through this harder plastic, which we mentioned the Pixel 2, which has plastic, or this coating that it doesn't even feel like metal, at least compared to the cold metal of the Pixel 1, as you've mentioned before. But I think that this idea of ceramic, if it is indeed compatible with Qi, I don't know if there's a phone that is an example of that. We've seen ceramic on the Xiaomi Mi Mix 2. I don't know if that has wireless charging.
I believe, yes, the 2S, which just launched, does
Okay.
feature wireless charging.
And it's
So,
ceramic.
yes, Yes, it is.
Okay, so if that's an example to go off of, I think the idea of Google following Essential in the direction of going with ceramic would make a lot of sense. And personally, as someone who just loves the look and the premium kind of build of the Essential phone, I would love to see that on Google hardware, wouldn't you?
Definitely. It's materials, it's a good exploration of where to go. And with Google clearly interested in hardware, they made a big deal about colors, and I think they could do a lot of interesting things with ceramic.
Yeah, and speaking of Xiaomi and the Mi Mix, we actually got a tip this week from someone who has provided reliable information in the past that Xiaomi and Google are working on some kind of hardware device together. Now, I want to be really careful here because we don't want to come across as claiming to know really anything about this. It's really, this information is dubious at best, but we'll share it with you anyway, just for the sake of transparency. We're digging, and hopefully we'll be able to confirm pieces of this. But here's the full tip that we got. Basically, they say they weren't expecting this, but another hardware partnership is currently being put together between Xiaomi and Google to bring a phone to the US market. And they say that it's not an Android One phone and not a Pixel device. So, in terms of Google's current hardware partnership programs, that really doesn't leave any other existing programs for this to potentially be. So, I thought we could talk about this a little bit and kind of tear it apart.
Definitely. Let's start with a recap of Xiaomi for those not in the know. Xiaomi is a very big player in China. It is a top five. It is a top five phone maker in where Samsung isn't even one in the Chinese market. They are very interested in expanding to other regions, and they've already started to do that with such countries as India, Singapore, Indonesia, South Africa. They are really trying to get a foothold in the rest of the world. And honestly, their hardware is pretty good. We talked about the Mi Mix 2S just a second ago, and that is a very good near borderless phone. And honestly, they have some good design chops, and it would be nice to see that elsewhere in the world.
Yeah, I think that we should talk about that this tips are saying that this is a hardware partnership, because I think that can mean a lot of different things. I think there's basically three categories in terms of Google's hardware partnerships with Android OEMs. There are manufacturing relationships, such as Google's relationship with LG to manufacture the Pixel 2 XL. So that's a third party, an OEM that makes Android phones, partnering with Google to basically put together its self-branded products. And unless you're in the know, and unless you're people like us, you probably wouldn't even be aware that LG was the name behind the Pixel 2 XL. And then the second category would be devices who kind of co-brand with Google. So makers that a good example is Android One. So, for example, the Moto X4 was the first Android One phone for the United States, and it launched on Project Phi last fall. This is a Motorola phone, unashamedly the Moto X4, the Motorola phone, with Android One branding, kind of co-branded. So that's the second category where, Google works with third-party OEMs to release hardware that is kind of serving a secondary purpose for Google. And then the third category is every hardware OEM out there. So Google obviously has relationships and partnerships with Xiaomi and LG and HTC and
Samsung.
Samsung, obviously. They have very extensive relationships with all of these OEMs, just for the sake of the fact that they run Android at all. And so, saying that there's a hardware partnership being put together between Xiaomi and Google to bring a phone to the US market, That could mean a lot of different things. I mean, for all we know, and I mean, the tipster that provided this information to us hasn't really provided any clarity beyond this. But for all we know, you know, this could be Xiaomi just releasing the phone. It could be Xiaomi just releasing their very first US device. I mean, that
With
could
Google Play services installed.
exactly, that could be all it is. They could maybe be privy to some kind of internal documentation that is just talking about Google's relationship with Xiaomi as Xiaomi enters the US market. So for all we know, that could be what's happening here. Or, you know, even though they say it's not Android One and not a Pixel, you know, maybe it is an Android One and maybe it is a Pixel. Maybe a Xiaomi is a contract manufacturer for the Pixel 3. That's a far-fetched idea, I think, because Google acquired a lot of HTC, and so I think that we'll
They're
see.
using it.
Yeah, I think they're going to be using it. But you know, I just want to be open-minded to the possibilities and be clear that we really just don't know. But we did want to share this because Xiaomi and
It's
Google,
wildly
it
fascinating.
is wildly fascinating. And I guess the other possibility is that there's some kind of initiative or some kind of program that's not Android One and not Pixel and not Android Go or, you know, any of these other initiatives that Google's working with Xiaomi to introduce in the US. So, you know, maybe it's Android Silver, right?
Android Silver. For those of you who don't remember, we're going back in the history books here, but there was a rumored initiative called Android Silver to get a Google presence in carrier stores like AT&T, I believe, was an example. So there would be a Google section in the AT&T store with special phones that ran cleaner versions of Android near Google's, at the time, Nexus Vision, or now the Pixel Vision.
Yeah, or the Google Play Edition vision.
Oh, the Google Play Edition. That was a very good time.
And sh
HTC One
yes,
M7.
and
Best.
short-lived. What was it? I think Galaxy S6 Google Play Edition.
Galaxy S4.
S4. Okay, I'm a little off, but yeah. I think
Xiaomi and Google have worked together in the past. Xiaomi was one of the first Android One makers with the Mi 1 A1, and a while back they worked on an Android TV box, the Mi Box. That was in 2015 or 2016, I believe.
Oh, and then also there's the connection with Hugo Barra, which is maybe not an active connection and maybe not an active relationship, but Hugo Barra and some drama that we won't get into had kind of a falling out with Google and ended up taking an opportunity at Xiaomi and was
Where he
there
played a
for.
very public eye. He
Yes.
was a good presenter. Hugo Barra is a very good presenter. He was always a good presence at I/O, and I definitely watched his presentations for Xiaomi.
Yeah, he definitely provided that public face and definitely I think he did several interviews with US media about Xiaomi and about Xiaomi's ambitions for the US. And meanwhile, we've watched Huawei and Lenovo and several other Chinese companies really try to enter the smartphone market here and kind of flopped. And so hopefully Xiaomi's entry, if it is indeed coming, which Hugo Barra has said in interviews I think year after year, yeah, it's coming next year. I'm probably not directly quoting him, but you know, I think I'm hoping that you know maybe Xiaomi has kind of learned some lessons from the other Chinese OEMs that have made their attempts here.
Yeah, which those attempts have been very not stock Android, very filtered, very customized, very iOS-y. And Xiaomi has found success with them with the Android One phone. It's okay hardware, it's clean Android, and they'll do really well to bring their already excellent hardware design stateside with just clean Android.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? We'll see. Next up, we can talk about
Smart
yeah,
displays.
smart displays. And basically, we heard this week that Google is not ruling out making its own assistant smart display, which is basically the non-report of the year.
Definitely. So, VP of Home Products, Rishi Chandra, we've seen him on stage at the Google 10.4 events and at I/O. He said in an interview at Variety
And he
that,
does wear Android Wear, by the way.
yes, he does. Our blockbuster reporting on what ex Google executives are wearing and whether they're actually using Android Wear.
I think he's scored better than average.
Oh, definitely. So, yeah, he had this interview with Variety and said that basically they're not ruling out making their own smart display. He reiterated that Google has had a very long history of partnering with other OEMs and then doing their own first-party products. And he said that the reason that the CES 2018 launch was all third-party devices was down to a question of timing. Meanwhile, his exact quote was, "I'm not s saying we are not going to do it," in regards to whether they're making their own device. Given everything, it's very likely that we could see something in October when Google announces the rest of their lineup, just like how they prefer launching everything in the year in one go.
Yeah, so in response to whether or not they're going to do it, he said, "I'm not saying we are not going to do it," and that's the story. And which we already know that because recently, actually not that long ago, we heard around the time that there was just drama with Google pulling YouTube off of the Amazon Echo Show, we heard that there was a device, a smart display, and I think, this was m months before we even. Google even announced their partnerships with third-party makers to make their smart displays.
Yep.
This tip was, and I think this tipster sent this information to us and TechCrunch, maybe other publications, but TechCrunch got it confirmed or corroborated before we did. And apparently, this device is codenamed Manhattan. So, what were the basic details on that, Abner?
So on the hardware front, it was described as a direct competitor to the Echo Show with a 7-inch display. They discussed this tip discussed that there were other screen sizes in testing, but what Google was going ahead with was a 7-inch screen. It then went on to describe the capabilities of smart displays that we are now aware with, from duo video calling to assistant integration, all that was that was eventually announced.
Yeah, so now I think kind of adding to that, we have some more tidbits from a tipster that we would also kind of put in the category of dubious rumor, but fun dubious rumor. Apparently, there are, first of all, there's apparently three names being tossed around inside Google, according to this tipster.
As a final product name.
Yeah, as I we're assuming would be a final product name, not a code name. And those are Window with no W at the end, so that's an interesting one. Google Window, assumably maybe Pixel Window, Slate and Screen. So and they also say that one I'm assuming internal prototype was specifically called the Pixel Slate.
Which is my
So.
favorite, honestly.
Yeah, that's my favorite name too. If Google's going to pick between these three, I definitely prefer Pixel Slate. Secondly, according to this tipster, there is a front-facing camera, which is not that surprising if we're going to have duo calling, and two microphones. And just interestingly, the whole two microphones thing is would align with the standard Google Home, which has two far-field microphones on the top. And then this tipster says that this device that they're aware of, kind of contradictory to what we heard about Manhattan, is, quote, the size of an iPad Pro, which even if it is the size of an iPad Pro,
We are
we don't
definitely.
know which iPad Pro. So there's two. There's the 10.5 inch, and then there's the 12.9 inch, and they're very different devices, or they're not different devices, but they're, very different in size, and so that could make a big difference. And then finally. Apparently the battery life. So apparently this device, which this
Has battery life.
right, has battery life, which was not part of the tip from Manhattan.
Or what we've seen so far from LG and Sony and and Lenovo.
Right. That's we as far as we know, we could be wrong, but as far as we know, these smart displays that we saw at CES don't have significant or don't have a battery built in. But
It's a
apparently this
plug-in
device, yeah,
device.
they're plug-in devices. So apparently this device has battery life of about 5 hours unplugged, which would kind of make it sound like a kind of a
Tablet.
tablet hybrid.
And again, going up this back to the screen size, if what we heard of the size of an iPad Pro 10.5 or 12.9, that is definitely on the higher end, because at the moment what Lenovo has announced is an 8 and 10 inch screen. But from this rumor, however the verified it is, it would be a big thing. That's definitely in the tablet category.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to think about the Manhattan rumor, which, I mean, I'm not saying that TechCrunch is lying, and I'm sure that if they published this, then they probably had some reason to believe that it was true. But the timing of the Manhattan tip seemed really weird to me.
Yeah,
It
it was
seemed
a direct response to Amazon. It was.
Retaliatory. It seemed like a Googler internally was just really mad and felt like they had to say something.
And since then, times could have changed, things and developments could have changed, obviously, to
Yeah,
explain this
and
difference.
the other possibility is that I see is maybe this tipster wanted to leak that Google was taking seriously the idea of doing an Amazon Echo Show competitor, but wanted to seed some false information, maybe. So, I mean, that's obviously far-fetched. This is pure speculation. But maybe the device that Google is working on is a bit more impressive than the device that this leaker shared.
And the promise over the river.
Yeah, it would be pretty impressive if they push out a device the size of an iPad Pro with 5 hours of battery life. And if it has all the same capabilities as the other smart displays that Google showed off, Google would pretty much trump every device that they partnered with or that they partnered with these OEMs to make.
But again, this if such a device exists, it's crowding up the tablet. What is a tablet? What is a smart display? What is a Chromebook tablet, for that matter?
Yeah, and if this runs that. What is the OS for smart displays? What is that
So
exactly?
it is Android things officially.
Okay.
It's running, most of them are running a Snapdragon 626, which is optimized for home devices.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see. You know, we're talking about hybrid and we're talking about how a lot of these devices are starting to kind of blend into each other, and it's the line separating what's a tablet and what's a smart display and what's a Chromebook. They're starting to blur a little bit, and so it'll be interesting to see how this all this happen all this changes in light of Fuchsia too, I think. But that's a whole other story, and we can get into that later in a later episode of Alphabet Scoop. Next up, we have some corporate news, right?
Yeah, it was a corporate heavy week. So internally, Google saw a departure and two reassignments. So in 2016, Google appointed a new head of search. This very important product was given to John Gnandla. I'm sorry if I mispronounce your name. He joined Google in 2010, where he eventually led up the creation of Knowledge Graph. In summary, Knowledge Graph is how Google knows things when you talk to Assistant or Search. It powers the relationships between objects. So when the famous example is when you ask, how old is so and so a person? And then you follow it up with, how tall are they? You don't need to say that person's name again because Google knows a lot about that person and the relationships between things. So, again, in 2016, he was placed in charge of search, also, and he was already in charge of their AI research division. This week he left. There were reports of his departure on Monday, I believe.
Yeah, so I think the information reported on him stepping down, and I think their report was more about Jeff Dean and Ben Gomes, who are both veterans at Google, being kind of like taking his position. But interestingly, the information said on Monday, I believe, that John, let's just call him John G, was actually going to stick around at Apple, or was actually going to stick around at Google, sorry.
They definitely framed it as he wanted to go back to the hard technology, while these other Google veterans, Jeff Dean, he is considered a rock star in the company. He became head of AI while also leading Google Brain, the internal research division. And as you said, Ben Gomes, the previous head of engineering for search, and who led all the efforts to counteract fake news over the past year, became the full head of search. Then the next day, this blockbuster news came that Apple hired him to lead Siri development and all the AI efforts,
Yeah, that
and
was Wall Street Journal, right?
New York
Okay,
Times.
New York Times. So New York Times reports 24 hours after the information reports that he's stepping down and staying at Google, that he's actually not staying at Google, and that Apple poached him. So it's an interesting, series of events. There's the question of what exactly happened here. Did Google lie? Did Google PR tell the information, hey, yeah, he's stepping down, but he's still going to be at Google? Or did, was John G
He
not sure on what he was doing, maybe, and maybe he even told Google, yeah, I'm sticking around, and perhaps Apple had already been courting him for a long period of time, and then John
they
broke the
jumped.
news and jumped. So, who knows how this all played out, but it is interesting to see kind of the series of events. But, long story short is that Apple has a very valuable Google veteran, right?
But at the end of the day, I don't think that this is going to affect the quality of Google's products in any way. The people who are in charge now are veterans. They are trusted hands, and I'm sure they'll do a good job as Google moves into this AI-first world. However, competitively, it gives Apple a chance to replicate the success. And we don't know whether this Googler, true and true, is going to be a good fit for the culture of privacy at Apple. Who knows how that's going to turn out? But for now, they have that chance of being as good as the Google Assistant.
Yeah, on the other hand, though, I think that maybe, I mean, this is all pure speculation. Again, a lot of the things we're saying on this podcast and on Alphabet Scoop in general are pure speculation.
It's
Yeah,
commentary.
it's
There's a difference.
commentary. But I think that it might be possible that he has seen what has happened with Facebook's privacy policies and kind of the fallout that's happening in general in the industry regarding handling of consumer data. And perhaps, John may have seen that. I mean, this is a long shot, but maybe he saw that and saw Apple as a more attractive opportunity and maybe potentially less vulnerable to the same criticisms that Facebook has had.
Definitely. For what you want to, for however, whatever you think about Apple, privacy is a core fundamental belief for them. And of course, you can be cynical about it and say that they're very private because they can't do all this impressive data stuff, but privacy seems to be a commitment for them.
Yeah, or you could criticize them and say that their ideology is holding them back and that a lot of Google's products are really great and obviously surpassing Apple's in many ways. Assistant versus Siri is not even really a competition in 2018. But on the, like you were saying earlier, I think that Google has established, I mean, all of Google I/O last year, which we're coming up on Google I/O 2018, all of Google I/O 2017 was pretty much just about how, yeah, we've been talking about AI and machine learning for years, and I/O last year was basically Sundar and Google formalizing that and cementing that in Google's culture and mindset, that you know they're an AI and machine learning first company. And so, yeah, like you're saying, I think that Google has enough talent that they've acquired and have made a name for themselves enough in the last several years that they've made strides in not just their products, but as a company as a whole. And I think that Apple, regardless of whether or not they have John, is still behind. But like many Apple commentators have said, it could really make a big difference.
Yeah, and again, competition is always great. This is a good kickstart, and Assistant and Alexa getting competitors is good for everybody.
Absolutely. Next up, a Googler petition asks Sundar Pichai to end Project Maven, which is an AI project involving military drones.
So, a few months ago, it came to light that Google was working with the Department of Defense on Project Maven. This is a DoD initiative, the US military initiative, to get computer vision and apply it to drone footage, which is a big data problem. There's so many drones, so much footage it records, and you can't really process it with humans alone. It is an ideal use case for machine learning. And at the time, Google very explicitly said that this is just for fragging objects, various objects. There was like 36 categories of objects. Neither side specified what, but fragging it for review by human operators. Google explicitly said they're not controlling drones and not making weapon systems whatsoever. However, its employees, maybe justifiably, are upset at this. They don't want to be in the business of making war machines.
Yeah, so what's our takeaway on this? I think, it's just a drama that's happening internally, and I think Sundar is going to have to address it one way or another.
And so far he's been a good reader in doing that, so I do hope we find out what he says.
Yeah,
It is.
he's definitely had
Yeah.
to face his share of political drama in the last 12 months.
Yeah. On a more somber note, on Tuesday, there was a very disheartening and tragic shooting at the YouTube headquarters in San Bruno, California. Basically, one individual, a one female, was upset over her YouTube channels being demonetized due to sensitive content which she put up. And she very tragically went to the campus and shot at three people before taking her own life. If Bloomberg did a piece that, if you know anything about Silicon Valley, the culture, the campus style specifically, it is a very open, they really like that, try to replicate that college campus feel. And it does raise up some questions for these companies, how to balance security and, in their mind, creativity. So that might be a discussion that these companies are having moving forward. YouTube, for their part, has said they are going to increase the security at the campuses worldwide.
Yeah, and I think this situation, it's undeniably tied to the drama that's been happening lately with YouTube and kind of trying to find some kind of footing in governance over content. I mean, it was just recently that YouTube removed all gun-related or announced policies against having gun-related content on the site. And it's just been a long year of YouTube having to fight a lot of battles on where's the line drawn. There's the whole drama with what's his name? I'm proud of myself for not remembering his name.
God,
Suicide
Logan,
Force. Yeah, Logan
Logan
Paul.
Paul.
Yeah, there's the drama surrounding Logan Paul, and you know, YouTube had to address that somehow. His video about, you know, him laughing at the deaths of suicides in a Japanese forest. You know, that somehow ended up on trending on YouTube, and so Google's had to face a lot of these kind of decisions on how it's going to handle content on its website, user-generated content. And then I think the shooter was partially motivated by some of their qualms with how YouTube's handling these things, right?
Yeah, again, she's in her other social media posts. She was very much ranting against demonetization, which means that you can no longer run ads on your videos due to sensitive content.
Yeah, altogether, this was just, you know, a tragic moment for YouTube and for Silicon Valley in general. So, we just wanted to mention this and just say that YouTube and Google and all the people that were impacted by this are all in our thoughts this week. And we hope for the best for Susan Wojcicki and all the rest of the team at YouTube for just a quick emotional recovery from this. And we just hope that they'll be able to pull through and unify the community even more in the wake of this.
Well, but
In other notable stories this week, we had several OnePlus stories. I think OnePlus is particularly interesting to our readers because our community tends to be fans of clean software and you know, Google-inspired material design and just generally,
relative affordability.
yeah, well, yes, relative affordability, but on the software side, I think OnePlus definitely caters to the same kind of audience that the Google Pixel does in many ways. We heard that the OnePlus 6 is confirmed to have a Snapdragon 84, 845, 8 gigs of RAM, 256 gigs of storage. You'll apparently be able to hide the notch using software, OnePlus says. OnePlus is also rumored to debut OnePlus Bullitt wireless earbuds to, I guess, take on the Pixel Buds and the AirPods. And they're also apparently working on a limited edition Avengers Infinity War themed OnePlus 6. OnePlus is notorious for basically trying to take advantage of social media and take
Anything.
advantage of anything really to generate as much hype. So of course we've seen four separate stories about this single phone this week.
And we're only going to see more
Yes.
as until it launches, and
Yes.
then till the ensuing controversy over something happens.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Carl just tweeted the specs one by one, you know, 24 hours apart so that he could generate a dozen news stories on every Android blog on the internet. And then,
I mean, he needs to generate his Bitcoin somehow.
yeah, he's gotta make that Carl Pay coin.
So also this week, we've heard more about the LG G7 and how it'll be called the LG G7 Thin Q, which is their smart assistant, which, like Samsung, is going to unfortunately have a dedicated hardware button like Bixby.
Yeah, I take the whole thin Q thing as just LG admitting that their phone doesn't sell well, and so they're just trying to attach as much stuff to the brand as possible to make it stand out. But I think adding a term that literally means nothing to the average consumer is not going to do them any favors. Okay, beyond Android OEMs this week, we also had lots of app news, right, Abner?
Yes, we did. Just on Wednesday, Google, after the January 2017 relaunch of Google Voice, opened a beta program to test out voice over IP calling on Android and the web. This is a long time coming, which basically allows you to make calls right from the Google Voice app when you're on Wi-Fi or data. And another effect of this, presumably, is that it hastens the death of Hangouts with its as that service moves to a purely enterprise offering. Meanwhile, last week, Google announced that it's shutting down its goo.gl URL shortener, which many people use, and they're moving that to a more enterprise focus, a more developer focus, with a Firebase alternative for developers, but there will be no consumer alternative. Also, this week, YouTube TV finally gained support for Firefox. Well, we learned that Google Chrome on Mac, Windows, Linux, and Chrome OS is adding a very useful right-click shortcut to access the emoji. On the OS front, we had the April security patch for Pixel and Nexus devices, and on the Pixel, there was a bunch of updates, 52 fixes that dealt with Wi-Fi, fingerprint latency issues, and the battery. So be sure to update, and hopefully this will make the Pixel experience more solid for you.
Thanks for that roundup, Abner. As we mentioned last week, some humorous app updates also rolled out for some of Google's apps for April Fools. The first of those being a Where's Waldo game in Google Maps, which we both found somewhat unexciting. Yeah,
Underwhelming.
underwhelming in general.
However, there were some good ones, which you particularly liked.
Yeah, first of all, I was a big fan of the Gboard physical keyboard. Basically, swipe keyboard idea that they had. I mean, I've actually found myself trying to swipe after, using my Android phone for hours on end, going to sit at the desktop. I've actually found myself kind of tempted to drag my finger over the physical keyboard. And I don't know if that would be practical in reality, but I mean, if that existed, if that was a real product, and maybe it is, maybe a commenter out there or someone listening to this is aware of something that's in the deep pits of Alibaba or something that I could buy.
Google made a crazy demo for this. I think it runs on TensorFlow, the machine learning library, where on the website you can like swipe and it'll try to interpret your keyboard gestures in a
Gotcha.
specific window.
Gotcha, I'll try that out. So yeah, I was a big fan of that. And then also the Hummus API, which was basically this USB-C stick that you stick in your mouth and it uses your taste buds or something like that to determine which kind of hummus dish would be most appropriate for you. I just thought that was awesome because I have a personal affection for hummus in general.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, I know. It's like one of those things that looks disgusting, but it turns out it's the most amazing food ever created by human beings.
And there's so many varieties, it's insane.
And they're getting wider and wider every day. Just go to Whole Foods. I think there's like 30 different kinds of hummus you can find. What did
We
you?
should really open up a hummus
Yeah, we should
beat.
have a hummus restaurant. That's just every dish has hummus in some way. That'd be fun. Which April Fool's jokes did you find most appealing, Abner?
I had this peculiar fondness for Google Australia rebranding to Googs. That's with a Z, Googz. It's an Australian thing. If our Australian readership found that funny, please do tell us, because it was a very Australian thing, in our opinion. And on the third party front, my absolute favorite in ages was Snapchat. Oh, Snapchat. I don't really use Snapchat, but I used it for this. They made a filter, which is basically you can take a picture of yourself and it pretends that you're changing your profile picture on Facebook. And the text of this Facebook update was in Russian to point a very sharp joke at Google, at Facebook's recent Russian bots troubles. And oh, amusingly, they also got in the Your Mom joke, which is whatever. But there's.
That's the
But
cherry
in
on
terms
top,
of
right?
how.
Your mom.
That's a cherry on top! But there's also a poke on row usage stats in that only your mom is on Facebook liking your post, nobody else. So.
Yeah,
I had a very good laugh.
I was a very big fan of the Snapchat burn as well. Although I have to say, Snapchat from a business perspective is not all that unique compared to Facebook, and is potentially liable or potentially vulnerable to similar criticisms in the future. So hopefully this one doesn't backfire on them. Thankfully, we won't have to talk about April Fool's jokes for another 12 months. Until then, you can tune into Alphabet Scoop here every week. We record this podcast every Friday and publish every Saturday morning. And you can find us on all your favorite podcasting platforms, such as iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Google App Podcasts, Google Play, and you can even listen on our site at 9to5google.com directly if you wish. Thanks for tuning in, as always. Thanks to Abner for joining me once again, and we'll see you next week.
Bye. Thanks.